Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. His topic of discussion today will be compassion and medicine. I'd like to give a shout out to Clark, who will be handling the calls. And if you're interested in participating in the discussions today or you have any medical questions, you can call 813-239-9663 or send an email to dj@wmnf.org. You can also text us at 813-433-0885. Well, good morning to you, Dr. Fred. Talk to me more about compassion in medicine.
We are in a kind of chaotic world at the moment, and it seems that compassion is not always evident in many of the things that we do. There's a lot of tension, a lot of discord, and the last place we need that is in the healing office of any kind of healthcare practitioner. Unfortunately, when we're besieged by so much trauma occurring, it sometimes is difficult to have that compassion and empathy when you only have 2 or 3 minutes to think about a sudden decision. So we're put in this position a bit because we are, our current paradigm is very materialistic, and it's very mechanistic. It's a world where we think that there is a pill or a procedure for every possible complaint, and that puts a stress on an already overburdened system, and considering that it's a disease-oriented system, so we look for problems and try to have solutions for them, it's a very reactive situation because we're reacting to the problem as we see it. And much of our care is episodic illness care. It's fragmented. It's not coordinated by a team. There may be a primary care doctor, but the primary care doctor in our insurance-based world is what we call a gatekeeper for the most part, and they don't get involved in higher-level thinking on any kind of problems, and the care gets fragmented out to a slew of specialists who deal with a narrow realm of heart or toenail or anus. And the human condition is much more than a separated heart, toenail, and anus. We need to look at it as a group. So to transition from a disease-oriented illness care area, we need to think about what we're doing. And one of my colleagues, David Rakel, who has written several books on integrative medicine, uses the term salutogenesis, S-A-L-U-T-O-G-E-N-E-S-I-S. Saluto, referring to health, genesis, creation, is an approach to human health, not illness care, that examines the factors contributing to the promotion and maintenance of physical and mental well-being rather than disease, with particular emphasis on the coping mechanisms of individuals, which help preserve health despite stressful conditions. And in that, we can hear that we're not actually treating disease, we're treating humans. And that's where we can see how the placebo effect actually has some worth. We can look at, you know, a simple pill and look at statistics on it. Is it going to work? And we can have trials that show whether or not it works. So we know this isolated thing, this material substance, can affect a change. And yet, without attachment of meaning to that pill, as in, oh, this might treat your diabetes, it really doesn't fulfill all the needs of a placebo to actually help someone transform their state of being. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to shift the state of being from an illness state of being to a wellness state of being. And so they were looking at this whole concept in a diabetes prevention trial. And they compared the pill metformin to a diet and exercise coaching program with contact with humans. They found that we could have a 28% reduction in the onset of diabetes by taking a pill, metformin. But when we do diet and exercise changes, cheap, effective, and involving a decision by the person to uplift their own health, we get a 58% reduction in the onset of diabetes. So that shows us there's something more than just a pill here that can shift our goals into a better place. And so to do that, we need some kind of help. And so the future of medicine and delivery of healthcare is going to involve a coordinated team-based approach where we have a healthcare practitioner that is hopefully going to evaluate the problem that is at hand and create an action plan regarding that. And then involving a proactive team approach that uses health coaches and other individuals to help shift the state of being and promote health. So it's a health-centric approach that we need to develop, which will be a lot less invasive, a lot less costly for shifting the health of the nation and of the world into a better place. And the things that we're looking for are what are called salutogenic patterns. And one of the biggest of those is autonomy. The individual needs to have the ability to run this program for themselves because it's their life that we're actually trying to shift. And so the person needs to be empowered to be autonomous in making better choices about diet and learning how to do better things with diet and learning how to do better things with exercise, daily gardening, walking, just natural, normal activities that we used to do as humans, but we don't because we're trapped inside boxes looking at screens all day. And the second really, and also I think equally important thing here, is the social support network. Having family and friends that will support you in your pattern shift. Because if everybody's doing the wrong pattern, it's going to be difficult to shift. And also having a social support network of people outside there, like the health coaches and staff at a good healing center that would help pull you along into a new state of being. And lastly, medication use. So having autonomy and social support actually improves medication compliance, and so we get better results all along. Rather than reprimanding someone for not taking their pill, we find out why it is that it's difficult for them to take their pill on time and work with them with social support and giving them autonomy in how to actually approach that. Reframing the taking of a medication as an onerous burden into something that's actually health-promoting. Reframing the way we look at things is really the way placebo actually works. And they did a really interesting study on the effects of perceived empathy on the experience of the common cold. And they came up with a mnemonic, one of those letter memory things, P-E-E-C-E. P for positive prognosis, E for education and empowerment, C for connection, and the last E is for empathy. And what they looked at was, how did people respond to a cold when they were faced with no doctor visit, with a visit with a healthcare practitioner that was not adequate, that was a painful visit in some way, and finally, one that was a perfect visit, one where the practitioner actually was able to educate and empower the person to get better and connected with them on a deeper level, showed that they had empathy for their problem and helped them understand there's a positive prognosis at the end. The result, there was this statistically significant reduction in severity and duration of the common cold for the perfect office visit versus the less than perfect office visit, which actually had the worst result. So the bad healthcare practitioner relationship made the person sick a day longer. And it was just slightly better than no visit at all. So it's actually really damaging to have a damaging visit with an unhappy and ineffective healthcare practitioner. So we need to actually help healthcare practitioners in this very stressful time with everyone overburdened because of the pandemic to look at things a little different way. And the end result is going to be that we have a better system, because Cleveland Clinic produced a study last year that showed that functional medicine, this team-based approach, provides a lower cost and better outcome with depression versus traditional family practice primary care, because the team approach helps a person reframe their life and shift their state of being, whereas in the traditional primary care method, they got a Prozac or a Paxil or some kind of medication that, you know, has a much less, as we showed in the diabetes prevention trial, a much less chance of actually affecting the positive change we want, because positive change is what we need. We're living right now in a very stressful situation, and we need some positive change there. And there is actually positive change. And next week, I'm going to talk a bit more about that, because we're going to talk again and revisit treatment of coronavirus, because we need to come out of this pandemic with hope. And there is great hope, because we have treatment that works. And so since we're having trouble getting to herd immunity and the shots aren't working as well as we thought, we need some positive prognosis, education, empowerment, connection, and empathy. We need some peace to change our view of this pandemic. And I think we can do that as long as we all keep looking forward and looking up at the possibilities for a better future. How are we looking, Bill? Anybody on the phone?
No, it's kind of as dark as a cloudy night, but I do have an email that just came on in that does deal with what you were just mentioning. And the question that Ron from Lutz asks is it safe to attend sports like Bucks, Rays, Bolts games with so many fans and so few masks? Will holiday travel be safe this year, safer to fly or to dry? What's your word on that?
You know, those are really important questions that we need to address for going forward. And one of the most important concepts I think that we need to become aware of and slip into an acceptance of is safe enough. Nothing is perfect anywhere, anytime. And so we have to be able to accept that we've done what we can to protect ourselves going into the future. And so we know that masks work. So if we wear a mask ourselves, then we are in a better place. It does help protect us. It's better if everybody has masks on, but in the stadium outdoors, you're a little bit safer, but in a stadium indoors, maybe not quite so much. However, you do have a huge airspace in there with usually pretty good air movement. So your mask would be very helpful. Wearing glasses or goggles could also help from particulates, but unless you're facing someone talking, that's a little less of an issue. If you do things that may be helpful in as far as prevention, taking the things that we've talked about before. Next week, I'm going to go into more detail on it. But as I've mentioned previously, quercetin, curcumin, vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, build up your immune system. The herb andrographis, the herb licorice, have preventive antiviral activities and have been shown in the laboratory to actually inhibit the growth of SARS-CoV-2 virus in cells. So there are lots of things that we can do to prevent. And so if we're doing these things, you're in a better place. And next week, I may even talk about some medications that could be used as prevention. And so, but for now, these other methods really work. Washing your hands, distancing, and trying to avoid those places where there are a lot of people that aren't really caring about other people's health. So that was really a well-placed question, because we really need to address this safe enough. If you're on a plane wearing masks, travel is actually fairly safe. And since the airlines are still requiring masks for everyone, it is actually a relatively safe way to go. Most hotels are taking care to make sure that cleanliness is utmost. Many are having mask mandates. many are not. It's where it just happens to be where you are and what their policies are. Usually the policy of the state is involved there. So, yeah, I think we can be safe. I think we'd be safe enough. And I know we have treatment. And we know that the monoclonal antibodies will put the disease to an end. And there's a good study on hydroxychloroquine, and I've watched it work in my patients. I've also watched the monoclonal antibodies work. So, yes, I think we can get by this.
Well, that's encouraging. And I do have a couple of callers here, but I want to shout on out that everybody's listening to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. And if they want to participate, they can call on in at 813-239-9663 or send an email to dj@wmnf.org. And you can text us at 813-433-0885. And Clark is there waiting to take your call. And I've got, it looks like, Babu from Tampa on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Harvey. I have a question. Well, actually, see, the first one is you mentioned to me about taking the magnesium glycinate, and that's working. However, I have hernia surgery coming up, and they're asking me to stop all medications and except for the blood pressure and all supplements a week out. Is there something else that is a natural fit to help me get sleep and save all my anxiety that I can put in place of that?
The only supplements that you need to stop before surgery are ones that would involve bleeding. And so you wouldn't want to take fish oil or vitamin E or curcumin or bromelain. Any of the those things could be actually promoting bleeding. Magnesium does not do that. And if you are on a medication from another doctor, you should never stop that without permission from the other doctor. Don't stop medications for a week before surgery. That would be dangerous.
No, the blood pressure, I've already spoke with them. I called that one in, and they said they'll take that up until the last dose before the surgery. And
yes.
Also, do you have a take on ashwagandha?
Ashwagandha
is pertaining to will it aggravate anxiety or sleep, or is it just going to just do what it's supposed to do?
So ashwagandha tends to ameliorate anxiety and help with stress. There are lots of other things to do that too, including the magnesium glycinate.
Okay, are those two to be taken separately, or does it matter if you take one at night to sleep and the other to get through the day?
You can take them any time of the day. You can take them together. You can take either morning or night. It's really okay.
Okay, and that won't affect the lisinopril?
It should not.
Okay. All right, my man, you are always right on top of this medical advice. Thank you.
Glad
so
to help.
Much.
By the way, if you ever want to look at drug-herb interactions, drugs.com has a very good drug-herb interaction panel there. You can just put in the name of the thing and find it out. That way you can check before you take something.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. And I've got Terry from St. Pete here who wants to make a comment about the wellness-based healthcare system.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm listening to you talk about, you know, the changes that are needed in our healthcare system, and I'm sure that there are a lot of physicians who agree with you and would love to do that. Unfortunately, they're either in corporate practices or answering to the dictates of the insurance company who put pressure on them to see as many patients as possible. So they really don't have time for any of this. They rush through visits. My veterinarian spends more time talking to me about my dog's health than my physician ever has talking about my health. And so how do we change the system?
Well, what we can do is have doctors empowered to leave the system, because that's what it took for me to be able to provide the kind of level of care that I do. I cannot be forced to do 4-minute office visits because I only get pennies to see a patient. I'm not in any HMO. or any other insurance-based thing, because it's all illness-based, and I can't provide wellness care on an illness-based system.
So what that means, basically, is the people who probably need it the most, the people, the low-income people who tend to have more health problems, won't be able to get it.
Well, actually, there are more and more organizations that are growing up to do educational empowerment. And honestly, most of the things that we can do to help people stay healthy are the things that you can find at the Blue Zones website. If I could convince 90% of my clients to do Blue Zones living, they would have so much less disease. But actually, we live in a society that promotes anti-Blue Zone living, and so that's why we have illness. But the more we do for group education, the more we're going to shift healthcare at its core.
Okay, so could you repeat that website again so that I can get it?
There's actually a really good website to look at the whole concept for just this whole future approach. They have white papers on it. It's called functionalmedicine.org.
Okay.
And on there, there's a white paper for the future of our healthcare on our planet, and it's really positive. So I would look at that because there's so much education for lay people on there as well.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
All righty, let's move on. We've got Julia from Tampa, who says that she makes the observation that vaccine mandates are not applied to members of Congress. Hey there, Julia.
Hi. I wanted you to speak to this demand that they have that everyone be vaccinated except the members of Congress. Can you please shed some light on that?
Well, Congress makes the rules, so they get to make exceptions to the rules for themselves. But it's my opinion that the vaccine mandates are an onerous burden on society, and they are not necessary to get us out of this problem. Masks are. And nobody wants to wear masks anymore because we want to get back to normalcy, whatever that might mean. The vaccines are, when I just read the latest reports, there are about 20 new articles out with efficacy from 40% to 60% to 55%. The data on boosters is possibly better, but I've seen a couple studies recently that showed that they're at 95% on some of the effectiveness studies. That's higher than the original studies, so I don't really believe the ones that have higher efficacy now. But I do believe the ones that have lower efficacy because of what we're seeing. So I think that we need to be smart, and we need to actually promote treatment because it's available, and we need to promote better healthcare, and that is healthcare. So wearing a mask is healthcare. Wearing a seatbelt is healthcare. They're so easy to do, and they're not invasive, and they don't cause problems. For some reason, the people that really don't want vaccines also really don't want masks, and that's created a huge problem for our nation.
Well, I will wear a mask all day long. I do not want a vaccine. And I just feel that because of the diversity of the quality of healthcare systems all across the country, that people in specific areas are probably more qualified to assess how their healthcare systems are working and whether or not they should participate in those kinds of activities in those regions. And I think this kind of universal mandate that everybody do exactly the same thing, I think is dangerous.
Well, we do everything that way because epidemiology plays to the lowest common denominator. And so if we see that an intervention works for 90% of the people, but it kills 5%, it doesn't work on 5%, we accept that that's acceptable risk and loss, I guess. I don't think that the current inoculations are at 5% death, but we are seeing 10 times to 40 times the amount of adverse events with this shot compared to flu shots from the same time period. But again, that's still only 0.0001% overall serious adverse events. So it's really in about the same range as getting coronavirus, I think. Although coronavirus actually seems to be getting worse with these newer inoculum, with more Delta intensity. So, yes, I don't really agree with the shift from my body, my choice to no, it's not your body, it's not your choice. And I don't understand how we can be doing that, but there's not much we're going to do about it except stay safe, wear masks, distance, wash your hands, and take the supportive preventive supplementation.
I had a horrible experience with the medical business back in 1997, where they diagnosed me with cancer at a major medical complex in Maryland. And luckily, I called a friend of mine who was a doctor at another hospital, and she took me over to her mentor at Howard University Hospital, where he walked the Dr. LaSalle LaFall, an amazing doctor who was the first black head of the American Cancer Society. He and his assistants walked into my room, lifted my arm and looked at it and told me I had an abscess. Now, if I had stayed at that other hospital, Prince George's Community Hospital, I am convinced that I would be dead as a doornail right now.
Yes, we do have to put up with some less than perfect diagnoses. Unfortunately.
So that's what I'm saying. I think people are in the best position to make some of those judgment calls themselves and should not be demanded that they do what the government says they should do.
Oh, I think it's a contract between the practitioner and the patient, and it's a mutual decision. And if you make a decision to not have an invasive procedure, it's your decision.
Exactly. Thank you. I just wanted your opinion on that. Have a good day.
You too.
I'm going to remind our listeners that they're right now listening to WMNF Tampa Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey, and they can participate in the program by calling 813-239-9663, and they can send an email to us at dj@wmnf.org. And I got Angela from Clearwater who's got a question for us.
Good morning, Angela.
Hi, Dr. Fred. I have a question about, I had both of the Moderna shots, and I'm intending on getting my third shot, my booster. And does it matter if I go with Moderna, or could I go with Pfizer?
Actually, I haven't seen data on that. I'm not a fan of the boosters. I'm fine with people getting them, but I haven't really reviewed, and I haven't seen anybody say that you switch over. I think that the Pfizer actually has better effect slightly than the Moderna. So if you feel like switching over, if you feel like getting one, it's still an mRNA doing the same thing. It's going to actually stimulate your immune system again. So there shouldn't be a problem with it, and it should be effective.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I am. I do have some problems with my immune system.
Are you taking preventive vitamin C, quercetin, curcumin, vitamin D, zinc?
Oh yeah, I'm taking
good.
All of that.
Good.
I sure am. But I was. I have some other issues. So
sure.
I have kidney. I'm in third stage kidney failure. So. I want to make sure that, you know, I don't get this thing. in case I can't get the Moderna and I have to go with the Pfizer for some reason, I just wanted to make sure that would be okay.
Yeah, from what I've read, it seems to be. I haven't seen the actual edict from the government on it yet.
Okay, I didn't know if it was, you know, switching over from one to the other wouldn't. You know, make a difference.
Actually, I don't know either, and I haven't published a lot on that because nobody's really doing that much of that. So,
right,
you're in a gray zone there.
And I do have a question about something you mentioned a little earlier. You were talking about some of the other stuff, and I didn't know about licorice or you mentioned another, or if I can't even remember the name that you call it, starts with an A.
Andrographis, A-N-D-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-I-S.
Oh, okay, andrographis.
Yes.
Oh, okay, and is that a...
it's an herbal extract.
An herbal? Oh, okay, I'll check that out. Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, Dr. Fred, I've got nothing here, not even a whisper. Right. So what have you got as far as emails?
So first one, Gloria asks, do you know if fish oil can cause hair loss? I do not believe it causes hair loss, but if it's actually contaminated with toxic metals, which it sometimes is, that may induce some toxic problems. And another functional medicine doctor told her that nettles can raise testosterone. I have not seen that in print, but nettles root is used to help with prostate health. Does quercetin affect the thyroid? Yes, I believe it is a very good support for good thyroid function. Let's see, who is this? Anonymous asks, hey, Dr. Fred, I got stuck by a cactus needle almost 2 weeks ago, and it's still painful and slightly swollen. Should it go away soon? Well, 2 weeks ago, it could be that a piece of that cactus needle broke off in there and you have a foreign body. You probably don't need antibiotics for that, but if it doesn't go away in the next 2 weeks, you probably need to get it lanced and removed. It'll probably continue to grow if you do have a cactus needle stuck in there. This one also is anonymous and just says, thank you very much. The thank you note. You're so welcome. Glad to do it. Mary from Bradenton asks, hi, Dr. Harvey. Today marks 10 days since I tested positive with coronavirus using Binax Now over-the-counter antigen test. I am not inoculated, and I caught the virus from my brother who tested positive via PCR test a day or so earlier. Thank you for talking about monoclonal antibody treatments on your previous shows. My brother has comorbidities and was unvaccinated, so I urged him to get the treatment, which he did at the local SMH clinic. I continue to take supplements along with acetylcoxinum, the homeopathic for flu. My symptoms started with a wicked headache, fever, body aches, etc. Hasn't felt so wiped out since mono as a teenager. She's 65, and things have begun to improve. She's also taking an old Indian cough syrup. So energy is very low, and she hasn't been exercising. So she wants to know if she should stop taking the acetylcoxinum. Well, acetylcoxinum only works in the first 24 to 48 hours to stop a influenza, and it's basically for influenza. The question also is, should she and her brother get an inoculation? And they were told to wait 3 weeks after they don't have any more symptoms. It sounds like her symptoms are still going on. And so I think that complete recovery really needs to happen before immunizing the body again. And so I think that it would be a really good idea to use curcumin and quercetin, vitamin D, some fish oil, maybe even some andrographis at this point. But 10 days out, your body has already made enough antibodies to neutralize the virus, so there's no ongoing activity of the virus, more than likely. However, the other symptoms, the chronic symptoms, really are due to the leftover problems going in the vascular system. So taking these extra anti-inflammatory supplements can really be helpful.
Still got nothing here.
Yep. Let's see. Vinny says, my relative has had a chronic cough for years now, and there was never a diagnosis. Last week, upon visiting Mayo Jacksonville, had a preliminary diagnosis of diffuse idiopathic pulmonary neuroendocrine cell hyperplasia. That is one rare issue. She has suffered for years now and is relieved to learn that there might be an answer. Can I suggest some kind of supplement therapy to help ease the symptoms? Frankly, I have not heard of that problem in the past, so I think I'd have to do some more research, but we do know that breath work helps. So doing Tai Chi or other types of breath work can actually help to soothe the problem, but I can't tell you what actually might happen otherwise with it, because this is a novel condition to me.
All right, and I've got Melanie here from Bradenton.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Dr. Harvey, and first of all, let me say happy anniversary to WMNF. You guys are awesome. So I'm happy to report, about a year ago, my husband and I were listening to you, and you were saying about you don't really have to be a diabetic if you change your diet and lose weight. And I'm proud to say, a year later, my husband, who was insulin dependent for almost 10 years, is now completely off of all insulin, and it's all due to his diet and his exercise regimen. And I just think that listening to you that day a year ago was such a godsend to us, because he is Mr. Happy now. No more mood swings. He was 240 pounds, didn't really exercise, and I did it with him because I said, you know what? I love this guy. I've been married to him for 45 years. I want him another 45 years. So I'm just calling in to tell you that listening that day was a turnaround for our entire family. It's amazing. And I just wanted to thank you so much, Dr. Harvey.
I so appreciate your call. This is all the pay I ever need for all the volunteering I do here. Thank you for that, because the feedback is so important.
It is, and that's why I'm calling. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts to you. Take care.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's always good to hear great feedback like that. Like you said, it makes you feel like you've been paid in gold.
Absolutely. It really does feel that way.
I've got Scott from Bradenton here with a question for you.
Hello, Scott.
Oh, hi, Dr. Fred. I hope you're doing well today. That was sure a sweet sentiment call. I appreciate that, too, and I appreciate you, and I've listened to you for about 6 months now, and boy, you're doing great work. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I haven't called before. This is my first time.
I'm glad you did.
I'm a 60-year-old man, 200 pounds, who 13 years ago had half his thyroid taken out.
What was that for?
Go ahead.
What did you have that taken out for?
One side, one half of the thyroid, one lobe, had been overtaken by two large nodes.
Okay.
Nodules.
Yep.
That turned out to be cancer-free. And the other half of my thyroid is still there and intact. And I've been on no medication. They took some blood work, I suppose, for the first year or two to sort of monitor things as far as what's necessary when you don't have your whole thyroid. So everything seemed to be fine, and I have been fine. I'm certainly a little bit slower. My heart rate seems to be a little bit higher than it was before. But I was wondering if there's anything in particular that I need to be doing. You know, the metals and the magnesium I take, and I get my potassium, and I know you mentioned something about some ferrous glycinate iron one day, but iodized salt, getting iodine really important? Do you have thoughts on that?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that we have had several nuclear incidents that were humongous, and they have spread radioactive iodine all over the surface of the planet. And I have seen a lot more thyroid tumors and parathyroid tumors in the last 20 years of my career than I did in the first 10. And
wow.
So I think that everybody needs to be on some iodine. And I like iodized sea salt, because every time I put somebody on that who hasn't been on it and I check their iodine, it actually comes from an abnormally low number right up into the World Health Organization adequate iodine level. If you do feel like you're sluggish or anything like that, you might want to get a full thyroid panel with the free T3, free T4, total T3, reverse T3, and a TSH to look at the whole pattern.
Yeah.
if you have thyroid antibodies, the anti-TPO or anti-thyroglobulin antibodies, that means you have thyroiditis, and that is a cause sometimes of those nodules, and you want to avoid gluten if you have those.
I see.
So those are some things you could do to make sure. Get a urinary iodine and a full thyroid panel and see where you are with that.
Wonderful. Yeah, that might help. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a mellow, kind of slow, not lethargic, but I certainly find myself needing more rest, you know, these days.
And it could be that half the thyroid just needs a little bit more support.
Yes, and that you think that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I'd get some biochemical testing and see where you are.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so much, all the work you're doing.
You're welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
And coincidentally enough, I've got Randy from Dade City here with a question about fatigue.
Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. Appreciate the show. I am a 65-year-old male, sober for 2 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Haven't had any vaccinations or medications or anything for over 10 years. Haven't even had a cold since I was 25 years old. Very healthy, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. So the last couple of years, basically since I got sober, I've been pretty tired all the time. And I take CoQ10. I take, for 35 years, I've been taking at least 50 milligrams of zinc every day. I take a anti-inflammatory called Ruma something that I get from the health food store. And so I started taking a product called Hematox. Can't tell you what's in it, but it's supposed to be good for the blood. And I'm still getting this tiredness thing going on. I was wondering if you had any input. Might ought to mention, I know I don't drink enough water. I hardly drink any water. And I've had a complete loss of appetite in the last year and a half or so. I eat a breakfast, a light breakfast, and then I eat a light meal at night, and I don't even supplement with snacks in between. That's it.
So when was the last time you had a full examination and blood work?
Just about a month and a half ago, because I just turned 65, just got on Medicaid. And so I went and got the complete battery of blood work, and it came back beautiful.
Hmm.
There was nothing out of range at all.
Well, I would say then, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Get at least a half ounce per pound of body weight per day in water. And if you work outside, add another liter to that. And then if you're not feeling better after a week or two of hydration, I would get some to a functional medicine doctor and get some deeper level testing, because the routine Medicare physical is pretty rudimentary. And you might just have some other things going on that are harder to find than on those standard simple tests.
All righty. So you think water is going to maybe do the trick, huh?
Well, water is the most amazing lubricant for life. And so we need lots of it. Get that in and see if it changes. If it doesn't, get help.
All right. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's move along here to Amy from St. Pete. Hey there, Amy.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Harvey. I love that story that the woman talked about hearing you and changing her husband's life with diabetes. Isn't that wonderful?
That was amazing. Yeah.
Gosh. So thank you so much. And I really believe in your work as well. Now,
thanks.
You
know, that point that she made talks to what I was talking about, how for people that don't have a lot of money, education is the way we can actually change health for the world.
Exactly. You said it. And we have to learn to not buy into the convenience of having bad things at our fingertips and know. It's kind of like an emotional intelligence, isn't it?
It is. Exactly.
I noticed that when I'm working throughout the week by Friday, my eyes are really feel a lot of pressure and burning, and I don't know if it's allergies. And like that last caller, I wonder if we aren't somewhat intuitive about, you kind of know what your problem is, but because on the weekend, I kind of get back to normal, and I'm kind of in the house more, and things are not bothering me. I don't know if the they're burning plastics and that's causing us problems, or I don't know. But it, I just wondered if you have a lead. I'm over 60.
So respiratory problems, correct?
Yeah, respiratory doesn't feel good, but I've had the testing, and they say everything's fine. But so, that's
but where are you living?
South St. Pete.
South St. Pete. Well, you guys have really high brevetoxin. You still have red tide all up the coast of Pinellas. Manatee and Sarasota cleared out. Charlotte and Pinellas are just inundated with still the stupid red tide. And when it was down here, I live 3 miles from the beach, and I was still wheezing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. You got to pay attention. Get on, just do the search for red tide Florida, and you'll get the state map. And it shows you where it's bad. You guys are still in a bad area. So you want to, if you're outside, you probably want to wear an N95 mask.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
just for red tide, let alone everything else.
Exactly.
Oh, God. All right. Well, that sounds like it's kind of hard to suck in the oxygen, you know, like if you feel challenged and, you know, like you feel actually a little weak. And it's a tough idea to wrap your head around.
But yes, we need to study this red tide more. We need to not have as much of it. That would be useful.
All right. Thank you so much.
Best wishes.
All right there, Dr. Fred. We're down to about our last 8 minutes, so I'm going to do one more announcement that everyone's listening to, WMNF Tampa with Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey. And they can call on in at 813-239-9663 or continue to send their emails to dj@wmnf.org. Clark is back there taking your calls and has just taken one from Alan in Tampa. Hey there, Alan.
Hello, Alan. Doctor, I had a question for you, please. I had listened to a Dr. Sinclair on the People's Pharmacy talking about a supplement that he recommends, NMN, like Nancy, Mary, Nancy. And it's a derivative of a B vitamin, I believe. And did you have any familiarity with that or any comments?
No, I've never heard of it. Is there a longer name for it?
Probably. Let's see. If I can get to the light to read it. Boy, I'll tell you, nanthothiamide mononucleide, if I'm reading that right.
No, again, I'll have to look that one up. I have not heard of that one before.
Okay. He takes that along with metformin and resveratrol, you know, and his whole book that he wrote that I read was on anti-aging, you know, so that's...
He's the guy that wanted to turn resveratrol into a drug and make a lot of money on it, and he's still trying to.
Well, that's our capitalist way, of course. So.
Exactly. This is a capitalist nation. Let's go for it.
One last question.
What's that?
Go ahead. I had another question for you, please. It was regarding curcumin. I'm familiar, like there's a C3, there's one with bioperine, there's Mariva and some, you know, various forms. Is there a form and a recommended daily dose that you follow?
My favorite is one that's got BCM95, 95% curcuminoids in it. That extract is really well tolerated. It doesn't need the black pepper bioperine in it to get it absorbed. It's highly absorbable without that. I'm not a big fan of the black pepper to get it absorbed anyway. That one, I think it's about a 600 milligram capsule, but I can't recall. It usually comes in one standard dose or a slightly stronger one. And one a day is a good dose for me.
One a day. Okay, very good. And a last quick question. I take a morning cocktail with a bit of juice and water that's got arginine and MSM and glutamine in it. Is that for just preventative reasons, arginine to keep my blood pressure in good shape, glutamine to keep my intestines or my stomach in good shape, et cetera. So do you follow that or think it's okay?
One more time. I got a little distracted.
That's okay. It was a little cocktail I take with arginine, glutamine, and MSN in it.
Okay. No, that's a fine combination. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, listen, thanks a lot for your help. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome, Alan.
Goodbye.
All right there, Dr. Fred. We're down to about the last 5 minutes, and why don't we hear from some of the good thoughts that the people on emails have to say to us.
Excellent. Yes. David asked about vax passports. He worked actually for the birthday bash on Saturday and thought it was fabulous. That did sound wonderful. He wants to know what I think about vax passports. Well, you know, I'm not really a fan of vaccine mandates, but if we're going to go to big venues and we don't have proof otherwise, I think it makes sense if we want to be in a crowded venue. The other option is I'm going to a conference in a couple of weeks, and our safe enough protocol is that no inoculations are required and no masks are required, but testing is required. We're going to be isolated at a resort hotel. There's going to be a group of us all tested negative in one location. And so, the hotel is masking their employees and doing all the standard protocols. So we're going to be in a bubble like the NFL. If you can do an NFL type bubble, you don't need vax cards. But if you want to go to big venues, I think our only way out is doing this. So I'm avoiding big venues because I'm not going to get an inoculation at this point. I don't really care about going to the big venues, but a lot of people want them. And I think it's the only way we can do this. I don't like them, but I don't think we actually are safe enough without them to be in big closed spaces. And Jeff asked about lumping people together. Yeah, it's been a problem. It's irritated me. I've been basically called crazy because I won't take a shot. And they lump me with the anti-masker, anti-vaccine, right-wing, very intense, not willing to cooperate with any kind of ideas that make sense kind of people. And I think it's really a problem because I think about this constantly, which is why next week I am going to talk about the treatment possibilities. I've spent a lot of time reading, rereading, and then rereading the FLCCC documents and going to the original article. And I believe we have treatment modalities available to work on this. So I think we should actually really consider looking at this a different way and looking at safe enough. And we have to have different protocols for different areas. So, yes, I agree with vaccine passports for stadiums because there's no other way to actually deal with the risk in those areas. Tibial stress fracture. Quick thing on that one. Yes, make sure you get protein. You got to get 75 grams of protein a day or so, or I'd say at least a half a gram per pound of protein per day to heal that fracture, and take orthosilicic acid, BioSil.
Okay, Dr. Fred, it looks like we're coming to the end of another very interesting health and nutrition show. Before we put a ribbon and a bow on the program, are there any teasers you'd like to give our listeners about next week's show?
Well, I think I just did, but if you want to know what we're talking about, go and look up the FLCCC protocol, IMAS Plus protocol for prevention and treatment of the coronavirus. And we should talk about that next week.
Sounds great to me. So with that, I'd like to thank you again for a great show and thank Clark for handling the phones for us today. And until next Monday at 10 o'clock, everybody out there, take care, stay healthy, and you have a great day and stay healthy yourself, Dr. Fred.
And you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of NPR News, followed by Sustainable Living, hosted by Tanya Vidovic and Grace Banky. Today's topic will be sustainability in music, and their guest will be a WMNF favorite, Grant Peoples. I'd like to take this moment to give a special thanks to Clark for handling the phones and making sure that you got heard today. So until next week, thank you for supporting and listening to Health and Nutrition with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know that you are loved.